Have your Bibles. Come with me to Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. A miracle story, but for some reason, one that doesn't get a lot of attention from anybody. I mean, it's a pretty cool story. Story about Jesus walking along with the disciples. And as Jesus went from there, two men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all the land. I think I would too. Let's pray. Father, a lot of the time when you're desperate and there doesn't seem to be any answer anywhere, people turn to you. I know it is your desire that they wouldn't wait until then. But so often that's what we do, especially when it comes to our blindness. So, Father, open our eyes. Help us to see as Jesus sees, so that we can begin to see people, begin to see the world as you see them. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the early days of America, way back before the days of the American Revolution, it's hard to underestimate the influence of one particular denomination of Christians known as the Quakers. About most of what anybody knows about the Quakers today is that they make a good breakfast cereal, Quaker Oats. Yeah. But these people broke away from the Church of England. And they had to leave the country, and they came to New England to be able to practice their faith without persecution. And what were some of the hallmarks of their faith? Well, to Baptists, they would sound familiar. Evangelical preaching, the priesthood of the believer, worldwide missions. Probably today, 49% of all Quakers live in Africa. And salvation through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, my goodness, that sounds a lot like Baptist. Yeah. Where they were different from most everybody else, including the Baptists, was number one was their absolute belief in nonviolence. The entire idea of a conscientious objector when it comes to the military started with the Quakers. We will serve in the army, but we will not carry a weapon. And they were very, very strongly anti-slavery. One early American Quaker was a fellow named Thomas Chalkley. I confess, I never heard of Mr. Chalkley until I started digging into this week. He owned a ship, and he would travel back and forth between Boston and the Caribbean, loading up the ship with goods from the Caribbean, and then coming back along the coast of the U.S., stopping in port after port, selling some here, selling some there. But in every port he came to, he would find a place to preach. And it was Chalkley. As he was preaching up and down the coast of the 13 colonies who first said in America, "There is none so blind as he who will not see." There is none so blind as he who will not see. Well, some 250 years later, Ray Stevens included that line in his song, "Everybody's Beautiful." Everybody's beautiful. There is none so blind as he who will not see. See, Chalkley would get frustrated when he would preach, and he would call out to him what were obvious sins that everybody ought to be able to see. But the audience would just shrug. What's the problem? In New England, as he's preaching, everybody was ready to go to war. And they jumped right in during the French and Indian War. And then after that was over, there was constant violence on the frontier and constant violence off and on between the colonists and the British rulers. And Chalkley would preach, no. Violence is not the answer. And nobody could see it. And from Pennsylvania south, there was slavery. And he would preach against it all. And nobody seemed to be listening. They just couldn't see his point at all. And they would say, "How can it be sin if all the good people are doing it?" Hear that question today, anybody? How can it be sin if everybody's doing it? I mean, elected officials are doing it. Business owners are doing it. How can it be sin? Well, I think Brother Chalkley would say, sin is sin. The way of Christ doesn't change. Generations go by, centuries pass, but the Word of God stands forever. So just as in Chalkley's time, we have people today who regularly engage in sin without giving it much thought at all, because, well, this is just what people do these days. Shakespeare said that familiarity breeds contempt, but with all due respect to the bard, familiarity most commonly breeds blindness. Something we see all the time, we don't see anymore. That's why at the last church work day we had, I loved the fact that we did a lot of work putting a lot of flowers out there on the street, because people by the thousands drive by here every day and don't see this great big building with the green roof. I mean, I'm still meeting people who are my neighbors just up the street, right? And they'll say, "So what do you do?" I say, "Well, I'm the pastor at First Baptist Sweetwater." "Where is it?" "It's across from Publix on Rock Springs Road?" "No." "The one with the big green roof across from Publix, just the other side of the park." I actually had somebody say to me, "That's a church? I always wondered what that was." So I punched them in the name of Jesus. I did not. Wanted to. There is none so blind as he who will not see. There is none so blind as he who will not see. Blindness, not of the eyes, but the heart. A willful kind of blindness, just like fear, can limit what God wants to do in your life. When you just won't see what God puts right there in front of you. That kind of blindness can limit what God wants to do in your life and in the life of an entire nation. So here in Matthew 9, we have two men who were blind, physically blind, calling out to Jesus for help. Matthew doesn't tell us how they became blind, but they were very aware of their blindness. They were aware of their need for healing. They were aware that no one else could help them, and they believed that Jesus could heal them. And Jesus says to them in verse 30, It shall be done for you according to your faith. It shall be done for you according to your faith. You may be walking through life blind and not really be aware. You may be wondering why life doesn't seem to be working. You lean this way, you lurch that way. You try this, you try that. You try to find something that can work long term, but there just doesn't seem to be anything working. And you hear that there's another way. You hear that there is one who can heal your blindness. But now you have a choice. Blindness, the way you've been living, well, this is your normal. It's what you know. It's what you're comfortable with. It's like driving an old clunker. It may not get you where you want to go. It's a way of going down the road that's not real reliable. But it's your old clunker. It's what you've always known. Do you really want to let it go? Do you really want your life to change? Do you really want to be healed? Or will you live in your willful blindness? The classic story where people have this moment with Jesus is actually in John 9. The story takes up the whole chapter. It starts with the disciples pointing out a blind man to Jesus and asking, Jesus, is he blind because of his parents or because of his own sin? 21st century translation, Jesus, is this guy the way that he is, just stinking lost the way that he is, because of his parents, because of the way he was raised? Or is he this way because of his own bad choices and stubbornness? And the Lord says, neither. It's all about this moment. It's all about this moment right now for you and the whole world to see the power of God, to see something that rehab, medications, and treatments can't do, something that only God could do. So Jesus heals the guy. The guy didn't ask Jesus to heal him. No one came to Jesus on the guy's behalf. Jesus just goes up to the guy and heals him. And suddenly, a man who was born blind can see. And instantly, all the fact checkers on the internet are out. Did this really happen? Who saw it? Who can verify this? Jimmy Kimmel's taking his shots because it's got to be a fake news story, right? How can a man born blind ever see? The authorities question the man. Was he ever really blind? Can you verify that? Where are your parents? Who are they? Bring them in. Let's get them to be interrogated. Let's get their testimony on the record. And who it was who healed you? If you really are the guy, if you really were born blind, who was it who healed you? Is he licensed to provide medical care? What kind of insurance does he take? Oh, he's going to be in trouble. There's no doubt about it. What exactly are his credentials? And not getting the politically correct answers they wanted, the authorities threw the man out. And at the end of the story, Jesus and the man and all the critics are out there together. John 9:35 said, Jesus heard that they had put him out. And finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and he is the one talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. One man was blind, but he was healed, really healed. Healed not just of his physical blindness, but of his deeper spiritual blindness. Do you believe in the Son of Man, the messianic title that Jesus used to speak of himself? Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And he worshiped him. The man had a choice. The question from Jesus is before him, do you believe? And Jesus says, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. See, now it's on everybody else. Now it's on the rest of the people, all those good people. Are you saying that we're blind too, Jesus? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You see, these are the people who are willfully blind, who just will not see. Now, sometimes it is on your parents, to a point. There's a wonderful song in the Broadway musical South Pacific on how you have to start a child early to make them a racist. Sometimes it is on the parents, to a point. The surest way to be a smoker is to have parents who are smokers. The surest way to be an alcoholic is to have a parent who's an alcoholic. The surest way to be a cheater in a marriage or a racist in a community is to have those kinds of parents. But at some point, folks, it's not about your parents anymore. At some point, you hear the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to see? Do you want to be healed? You're a grown-up now. It's not about your parents. Kathy always says, look, the family I came from put the D in dysfunctional. And they did. But at some point, she'll look and say, you just got to grow up, stand up, do up, get up, and go. It's not on them anymore. It's on me. And as she's dealt with people who came out of those same situations, who were dealing with the same stuff she did, she's got some empathy. She's got some patience. But if you're middle-aged and still blaming your parents for all your problems, that's where her patience runs out. Grow up, stand up, do up, get up. Do you want to be healed? Or do you want to live in your blindness? Do you want to be able to see and then turn God loose in your life? Sometimes it is on your parents, to a point. But the willfully blind, if you were blind, Jesus said, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. All around us, there are willfully, spiritually blind people who say, we see just fine. So their blindness, their sin, will remain. This is C.S. Lewis's whole point in his book about heaven and hell called The Great Divorce. He points out that hell is filled with people who insisted to the very end of their life, and even on in hell, that they see. And so their sin remains. There is none so blind as he who will not see. Sin, as we saw when Paul got saved, as we saw in his life, brings blindness. He was so blind, wasn't he? When we first meet him in the book of Acts, he was justifying murder. He couldn't see the truth. He couldn't see what was right. He couldn't see what was wrong. He was blind. And when he met Jesus, and the conversation between Jesus and the Lord was over, what was his condition? He was blind. And they had to lead him by the hand on the rest of the way into Damascus, where the Lord sent someone to touch his eyes, and something like scales fell off. And then he could see, not just physically, but spiritually. Gentiles were people who needed Jesus. Christians were not people to be persecuted, but people to be supported and prayed for. And I'm going to be one of them, Paul says. Don't know if they'll have me, but I'll sure have them. There is none so blind as he who will not see. Folks, if you want to be healed, if you want to be able to see, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, only Christ and Christ alone can give you the healing that your heart needs. Only Christ and Christ alone can give you the forgiveness that your life needs. He can heal what is broken inside of you. He can mend what is bleeding inside. He can heal your blindness, your sight, and he can bring light and life into you in ways that today you can't see. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you want to see? Then come and see what Christ will do. Let's pray. We're still blind, Lord. Our elected officials just say, well, yes, it's a sin, but everybody's doing it, so let's just legalize it and tax it. Yeah. And so, piece by piece, bit by bit, what the early Quakers understood as morality, it's been reduced to next to nothing. Because, well, how can it be sin if all the good people are doing it? So let's just legalize it and tax it if we can. You know, we'll just let everybody make their own decisions about life. We legalize willful blindness. Then we wonder, how did the world get in such a mess? When did everything get so bad? I remember great granny saying she never even had to lock her door at night. What happened? Because we live in a nation where almost everyone is blind, willfully blind. They don't want to see. Because then they might have to change. No, their life isn't working, but it's their life. They're comfortable with it. They would rather be comfortable in their misery. And to cry out to Jesus for healing. Oh, but when they do, Lord, it is amazing what you do. It's amazing when someone's eyes are truly opened, when their souls are washed clean and their hearts are made pure. It's amazing how they see the world and how they see themselves and everyone around them. And they are changed and they are different. And they wonder what took them so long. And so, Father, be with us as we try to shine light into the darkness, Lord. As we try to be your light, the light into the world, and the darkness just doesn't comprehend it. Bless us, Father. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's ready to be healed, let them come. Let them come and ask you for healing. For forgiveness, for life. Be with us, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.